Welcome to the Revolution Church Sermon of the Week.
I feel like we've had a full meal already this morning, just in the worship and in the words and just the God's presence with us. And today's a special day, being Easter. And I just want to just thank the Lord for his presence. Just thank you, God, for your presence with us today. Would you have your way, Lord. Have your way. We pray your blessing over the children today as they learn about Easter, that that things would be released today in our children's hearts that would never be covered again. Lord, we just pray for a revelation for our kids and for us here. Just that our eyes would be open, Lord, as we get into your word, as this meal is before us, Lord. We just want to partake of all that you have for us. And we pray for revelation. We pray that our eyes will be open today to the truth of Jesus Christ and the resurrection. In your name, amen. Amen. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Jeb. And I am utterly convinced that there is a country out there called Japan. I am utterly convinced that there's a place in the world that is called Japan. Who here has been to Japan? Has anyone been there? Is there a place called Japan? I've never been there. But I'm absolutely convinced that there is such a place. I like video games. I used to like video games when I was a kid. Video games, a lot of them come from Japan. Monster movies, things like that, those things come from Japan. There's a little bit of evidence that there is such a place. I've looked on maps. I used to be big into maps when I was in grade 3. I remember we studied the world. And we had to pick different countries, and you had to memorize the capital cities and different places around the world. And I remember seeing Japan often, but I've never been there. I follow baseball players who've come from Japan. Ishiro, just down in Seattle, fantastic baseball player, kind of broke open the major leagues to Japanese players. And just a fantastic a baseball player. I've known lots of people who've gone there and been English teachers in Japan. They go over there, they teach English for a while, they come back, and then they tell me about the place. Apparently, we are also reality TV stars, my family and I, in Japan. We were on a reality TV show, and it's been aired in Japan, and apparently we're quite popular over there, but I've never been there. But I'm convinced that there is such a place. I won't go into that story, but if you do want to hear that story later on about the reality TV, I'm happy to tell it. It's my kind of claim to fame somewhere in the world, this place that exists. In a similar way, I'm absolutely convinced of the truth of Jesus Christ and the fact that he lives today, that he is alive today. I wasn't there during Jesus' life. I wasn't there during his death. And I wasn't there present during his resurrection. All those events that we remember this weekend. I wasn't there when he was arrested in the garden, when Peter pulled out his sword and cut off somebody's ear, and Jesus said, "Peter, put your sword away," and healed the guy. I wasn't there when Jesus was brought before the high priest, and then he was brought before Pilate and suffered. I didn't see him get beaten, accused, nailed to the cross, and I wasn't there when Jesus gave up his spirit. I also wasn't there 3 days later when the stone was rolled away and the tomb was empty because Jesus rose from the dead. But I'm utterly convinced that it's true. And we're going to look at truth today through the Gospel of John. And that word truth is very important for us as Christians because the truth of Jesus Christ and his resurrection, the fact that he rose from the dead, is absolutely pivotal to the Christianity as a whole. There's many things that even in this room that we disagree on in terms of the church or different things. The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and the fact that he is alive cannot be one of them. This is an event that happened in history and it's pivotal to Christianity and to the church. So we're going to look at a few different places where truth is mentioned through the Gospel of John. If you look up the word truth in the Bible, especially in the New Testament, well over half the uses of the word truth are in the Gospel of John and the letters of John. He was all about emphasizing the fact that this is true, that Jesus Christ did live, that he is God, that he died and that he rose from the dead. And he uses that word more than anybody else, more than Paul. That you don't see it in Revelation, but you see it all in letters and in the book of John. So we're going to go through a few of those uses in the book of John, just a few, to see who was this Jesus and what was it about truth that we can gain. John 1:14, right at the beginning of his gospel, we see that he says, John says, "The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth." Full of grace and truth, talking about Jesus. Now, if Nick introduced me today, he didn't introduce me when I came up because you know we all know me. But if he would have introduced me and said, "Here comes Jeb, he's going to come share with us today. He's a man who's full of truth." What would you expect? I mean, full of grace is a bit easier to imagine in some ways, but what would you expect if he said, "This is a guy who's full of truth"? You'd expect everything I said to be absolute truth. Thank you. And this sometimes. There you go. Amen. If you followed me around, you'd expect that my actions, the way I live my life, would line up with the things that I say. There would be no hypocrisy, no hidden agenda, no white lies, that my life would exemplify truth if I'm a man who's full of truth. And that's how John describes Jesus, is the Word made flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and full of truth. And Jesus takes it deeper. In John 14, verse 5, Thomas says to him, "Lord," well, Jesus first says to disciples, "Follow me." And Thomas says to him, "Lord, we don't know where you are going. So how can we know the way?" And Jesus answered him, and he said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you will really know me, you'll know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him, and you've seen him." And we have that statement up here all the time at the front of our church, just behind the screen. "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life." And this isn't Jesus boasting. This is Jesus stating fact. This is Jesus stating truth. He is the way. Dana often says to the kids when they're kind of a little puffed up a little bit, she says, "You think you're all that in a bag of chips." That's kind of something, apparently it's a phrase that's used out there. Jesus is all that, and he's all the bag of chips, and he's everything else. And he's saying that. He's saying, "I am the only way. I am the truth. I'm it, full stop." If we look at how he's described in Colossians 1, this is Paul talking about Jesus. "Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before everything was created, and he is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything. He made the things we see and the things we can't see. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. Christ is the head of the church. He is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead." That is who Jesus is. So when he's saying, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," he's just stating his deity. And sometimes we forget that Jesus was God. He is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. He didn't say that he was a way, or a truth, or a life. Any of us could have said that. I could get up here and I could say, "My name is Jeb. I'm a way. Follow me. I'm a way. I'm a truth. I'm a life." Any of us could say that. He said, "I am the way." He made a definitive statement. There's no other way. I'm it. I'm the way. I'm the truth. And I'm the life. No one can come to the Father except through Jesus Christ. It's the only way. There's only one way. He is the central figure in all the history of humanity. In all the history of the universe, Jesus Christ is the central figure that rises above all the others. God himself. And he did not say he was a truth. Jesus said he was the truth. In John 18, when Pilate asked Jesus if he was a king, Jesus replied to him. He said, "You're right in saying that I'm a king. In fact, it's for this reason that I was born, and for this reason I came into the world, to testify to the truth." That's why Jesus came, is to show the world the truth, that God is, and that he sent his only son to die for us. That God is, that he is real. Those on the side of truth, listen to me. Are you on the side of truth? Do you desire truth? Pilate didn't. Pilate then, after Jesus says this, he famously responded to Jesus, and he asked him, what is truth? That was his statement. And then it says right away he walked out. So you can almost just hear the pfft in Pilate's voice. Pfft, what is truth? And then he walked away. Such a moment in history. He had God in front of him, the Son of God in the flesh. And he asked him a question that's probably one of the most important questions you could ask Jesus right then. And Nick often says, will the real Jesus please stand up? Because there's sure a lot of stuff about Jesus out there, but we want reality. And he had an opportunity to engage with God. And he said, what is truth? And then he walked away. Jesus didn't answer him. Jesus didn't say, come on back. He didn't desire truth. Pilate wasn't asking him. He was asking a rhetorical question of God. You don't do that. You don't ask rhetorical questions. You ask to get an answer. Lord, are you true? Are you real? If you hunger after truth, he will reveal himself to you. And you hear the same thing today as what Pilate did there. You hear the same thing taught in our schools, taught in universities. You hear this moral relativism, that truth is in the eye of the beholder. And honestly, if you talk about Jesus to somebody and they say, great, well, that's true for you, really what they're saying is that's not true. I mean, let's be honest. Really what they're saying is that's not true. But it's nice that it's true for you. You can have your truth, and I'll have my truth over here. It was interesting. Ravi Zacharias recently had an interview with New York Times, and they were talking about a couple of scandals that had taken place and the fall of Wall Street and just kind of foundations cracking. People's trust in banks, you know, isn't what it used to be. That kind of thing. And he said it's interesting that all of these people who did these evil deeds and stole from people and all of these things, they get out of school where they're taught moral relativism. You go to any psychology 101 class and you get taught that stuff. That morality is, it depends on who you are. It depends on where you're coming from and all of these things. And they're taught this throughout their schooling, and then they get out, they get a job, they live according to what they're taught, and we throw them in jail. We should go back and throw all those teachers in jail as well, don't you think? That's what he asked the New York Times guy, and he said it was just silence. After that, it was silence. There is a standard that we've set, we call it the law. There's a standard that God set, and he said, I am the truth. There's no other way. There's no other way. Jesus Christ alone is the truth. And he is the only way to God the Father. There's no other way. Pilate was not on the side of truth. So he didn't hear what Jesus was saying. And he said, what is truth? And he walked away. And he handed Jesus over to be crucified. And so Jesus testified to the truth throughout his life, and he was crucified for it. The Son of God, who holds together everything. He holds together everything. Everything. Things unseen, things seen, everything. The Son of God was the very one who allowed himself to be nailed to a cross. And it was agony for him. He said that he suffered under Pontius Pilate. The word excruciating comes from the Greek excruciato, which means from the cross. It was a horrible experience for him to go through. And that was God himself, the one who is above all things, the truth, the way. And why did he do it? He did it to set you free. He did it to reconcile man to God, to bridge a gap that can be bridged no other way but by the sacrifice of the spotless lamb, of the innocent one, God himself, full of grace and truth, sacrificing himself for us. And thank God that it didn't end there. Because we do remember that on Good Friday, that he was sacrificed. But thank God that that wasn't it. He is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. It's true that he is risen from the dead. And let's turn to John chapter 20. John chapter 20 at the beginning. This is after Jesus was crucified, after John and some other people saw him die. They were with him. They saw him on the cross. And he was laid in the tomb. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb, and she saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said, "They've taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they've put him." So Peter and the other disciple went and checked things out and found that it's true. There was nobody there, and the stone was rolled away. In verse 10, it says, "Then the disciples went back to their homes. But Mary stood outside the tomb crying." And I was just like Nick was saying earlier in worship. Could you imagine? She followed Jesus. She wept over his feet. And now she goes to see him. She's in agony because of what he went through. She was helpless. And now she went to go see him, to go change the cloths, to go see where is it. Can I just see him? Can you roll the stone away? The stone was gone. Now she's saying, "Where is he?" Now they've taken his body too. Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels dressed in white, seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they've put him." At this, she turned around and she saw Jesus standing there, but she didn't realize that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." "Mary." She turned toward him and she cried in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. And that was Mary's moment of truth. She saw that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. And she was full of joy, running to Jesus, calling his name. And she went and told the other disciples. Verse 19. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Why were they overjoyed? Because they saw that it's true. That he's raised from the dead. It's true. It's a fact. We can see him. We can touch, put our fingers in the holes. Put our hand in his side. This is true. Jesus, you know what? He told us he was going to rise from the dead. Right, it's actually true. He's here in front of us. I mean, just what Nick was saying earlier, they must have been so dejected until this point. They were hiding away. The doors were locked. What were they going to do? They were hiding from the Jews. Like, oh man, their lives must have been difficult. And then on top of that, they saw their Lord get crucified. And the last thing Jesus said to them before he was taken away and arrested, the last thing he said to his disciples was, "Take heart. I have overcome the world." So that's the last thing they heard him say. And then they saw him get arrested. They saw him beaten. They saw him crucified. And they saw him die. I mean, just all of that, just the weight of all of that. And then now he's alive. Now in this moment, they see him there, the truth in front of them, overjoyed. And it is true. Jesus is risen. It's a fact. 2 Timothy chapter 1 says, Jesus has saved us and called us to a holy life. Not because of anything we've done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. But it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. He overcame, just like he said he would. Jesus laid down his life for us, and then he picked it up again in victory. It was not only through his death, but it was also through his resurrection that Jesus destroyed death and reconciled men to God. He reconciled us to God by destroying death. We sang all those songs today. That's all truth we're proclaiming. Those are things that actually happened. Because he lives, we can live. Because he is victorious, we can be victorious. Because he overcame, we can overcome. Whatever you're going through, he was tempted in every way just like we were, but he was without sin. He knows exactly the situation you're in, whatever it is. Whatever you're going through in life, we can overcome because of Jesus Christ, because he overcame. And that's the truth. That's a fact. He overcame. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter. Because he was raised to new life, we can partake in this new life. We can recognize that our old self, prior to salvation, is now crucified with Christ. And when he rose, we rose in him. And we are now seated at the right hand of God the Father in Jesus Christ. And that's the truth. And that's because of the resurrection. His resurrection paved the way for the birth of the church, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, miracles, signs, and wonders, and most importantly of all, souls being saved. Most importantly of all, souls being saved. Now, I've never been to Japan, but I know that it's there. Confident. 99.5%. I'm confident there is such a place called Japan. I've never been there. I had a client once, actually, who I was interviewing him, and I knew that he was Polish, and his parents were Polish, and I asked him, are your parents born in Poland? And he said, allegedly. I said, that was not an answer that I expected. I said, allegedly? He said, yeah, but I wasn't there. They tell me they're born in Poland. I don't know for sure. I thought, boy, this guy has trust issues. For sure. But I am as confident that Jesus Christ rose from the dead as I am that there's a place called Japan or that this kid's parents were born in Poland. I'm confident because I know someone who was. Jesus Christ was there. And he spoke to me and he revealed truth to me. I read it in the Word. I've gone through some of the historical documents to say this happened. And you can back up all of it. But ultimately, it's Jesus Christ who reveals truth. And it's he alone who saves. And he was there. And he spoke. And dead men don't speak. Jesus Christ is alive. Jesus Christ is alive. And the Holy Spirit was poured out because he was alive. We can hear his voice because he is alive. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead now resides in me. John 8, the last verse. We'll look at that has to do with truth. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. You shall know the truth, and we now know the truth is Jesus. You shall know Jesus, and Jesus can set you free. You can know Jesus. Not just head knowledge, not just a fact like there's a place called Japan, but you can actually know him. You can know Jesus himself, the creator of all the universe, the one through whom everything was created. He holds together everything. You can know him personally. I mean, there's no other religion that comes close to even describing anything like that. The God himself who sacrificed himself for us, rose to new life. We can know him personally. We can know God. Not knowing a fact, but a person. And that's one thing that no one can ever take away from you. Is our knowledge of the truth, that he is alive. No one can take that away from us. The knowledge of the truth that he is alive. It can be attacked and it will be attacked. And it's being attacked around the world. We see philosophies coming out all over. Even what Pilate said here, what is truth? Truth itself is being attacked. The word, the concept. But if you know Jesus Christ, that's fact. Stake your life on it if you've heard his voice. Never look back. Paul said when soldiers are putting on their armor, they put on the belt first. And he called it the belt of truth. When he said, Christians, put on your armor like soldiers do. The belt goes on first. Truth goes on first. Don't let go of the fact. Jesus Christ is alive. He's risen. Please stand with me. It's okay. We just thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the fact that you are Lord, for the fact that you are risen, that today is a day of celebration, that today is a day of joy, because Jesus Christ alone is Lord of all, and that you are alive, that you did die, but you raised yourself, Lord. You laid down your life and you picked it up again. And we just thank you, God, that you have defeated death, that you have the keys, Lord, they're yours. You are the victor, that you are the champion. And we honor you this morning. We honor you this morning, Lord. We praise you, God. We praise you, Lord. Just like Jesus spoke to Mary in the garden, and it was when Jesus said Mary that she recognized him. He spoke her name. If there's anybody here who does not know Jesus Christ, if you don't know him personally, I just encourage you to come forward. I encourage you to come forward. If you feel like your heart is beating when I say something like that, that's the Lord saying your name. That's the Lord saying your name. She was recognized. He was recognized when he said Mary. He saves personally. He saves people. There is a gap between us and God that cannot be overcome any other way but by believing in the name of Jesus Christ. Romans 10 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It's only through him. If you've been around the church for a while and you've heard teaching and you still question about this and you're not sure, I just invite you to come forward. Now we can pray with you. There's a process Jesus lays out. Repent and believe. To be saved. To know the Lord. To know him personally. Not because someone else comes and says, congratulations, you're saved. But because God himself speaks to you. Jesus himself speaks to you and says, you're saved. You're my brother. You're my sister. You're a son or a daughter of God Most High. Unless he says it, I invite you to come forward.
Thanks, Jib. Just ask you to just continue, if the Lord's touching you, just to stay in the place you're at, in a sense of what he's, feel he's calling you to do. And yeah, it's important. It's something you can't take lightly, what the Lord is desiring to do. I love that when it says, and when he sees Jesus, he says, behold the Lamb of God, come take the sin of the world. Or his name shall be Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sin. Can I tell you personally what I love so much, and I didn't get it as a younger Christian? Not only does Jesus want to forgive you of sin, and he wants to set you free from sin. So there's two parts to it, and sometimes we don't live in the second part. Forgiveness is critical, but to also be set free from that junk. Set free from those mindsets. Set free from the lust of the world, the lust of the flesh, the boastful pride of life. That if you love the Lord, you hate in yourself, he'll set you free. I can testify, I'm a living proof of that. He will set you free. He not only forgives, but sets free. So I just want to encourage you to not take lightly that if you feel the Lord is knocking away on your heart, that if you feel there's a touch, that you should just, why not today? We are a procrastinating culture. I can testify that in my own life at times. But why not today? So Lord, we just say, have your way. Just pray that for each person, each heart here, Lord God, that you would just reveal. Just bless. We just thank you again for all that you do for us. We thank you for what you're doing in our lives. And we just honor your name now. We thank you for today with your presence, Holy Spirit. We thank you for your tenderness. Thank you for your love. So we just commit this day to you that we would be mindful of all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Just encourage you to join coffee, stay after, have fellowship. God bless.